Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and happy new year. That's right, it is the 1st of January 2026. So whether you're listening to this vaguely hungover in the car, whether you're at home sort of regretting the old new year, or whether you've actually just started, whether you've been out for your sea swim, you're already on the diet, you've had your feast of kale for breakfast, whatever it is, well done to you and thank you for tuning in, because this is 2026 bingo. We are going to be taking a look at the year to come and pinning our colours to the mast, because you hear all of the preview shows, all of the review shows over the last while and making, you know, oh yes, it's going to be a very important year. No, we're actually going to put our reputations on the line here, tell you what's going to happen in 2026, and you can hold us all to account this time next year if we're wrong. And I am blessed among women today for our panel of predictors. Saoirse Hanley from the Irish Independent is joining us, Jane Matthews of the Journal.ie, and our own Ciara Tracy from the News Talk Digital team. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
We're kind of in chorus there. That was lovely.
That was really harmonised, actually. Give me again just an octave higher.
Guys, you let the band down.
That was beautiful though,
that
sorry.
That was lovely. There's our promo sorted anyway. That's knocked it out of the park straight away. Hope the heads aren't too sore this morning.
No, I haven't had my kale for breakfast, but I'm always ready to put my reputation on the line anyway.
So. I mean, look, you kind of need to start your resolutions a week in, don't you? Yeah. There's all the leftovers.
Warm up to it.
Oh yeah, exactly. A month in, maybe. Yeah. Eventually that gym membership is getting some use.
Oh God, don't.
Eventually.
Yeah. It's fresh air, right? Yeah. That counts as something nice.
It'll be fine. Anyway, right, time to stick our colours to the mast, as I said. So we are going to be going through our predictions. And Saoirse, you're sat closest to me, so you get the first go. What are you predicting is coming in 2026?
I'm going to go global on this one. I'm going to say that we're going to get really, really weird in Hollywood and movie land about AI.
Okay.
I think last year saw the advent of like AI, I'm doing quotation marks here that you cannot see in your ears, but like AI actors, which is actually just all of these tech pros making these pretend actors that can do pretend interviews that are mostly kind of creepily really young women that are very docile and smiley and can't say no to anything. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of actors last year who talked about AI studios. Natasha Lyonne was talking about it. All of these big people are putting their name behind it. They're either very much against or very much for. And I think this year will be the year that we see people really lean into it. So I think we're going to have like, you know, an AI actor power couple kind of Brangelina style situation that only a very select few are going to care about, but we're all going to get really outraged about. And I also think they're going to try and make like AI actor red carpets happen. Like, do you know, a couple of years ago when Facebook announced, or Meta announced rather, the metaverse, and it was only really Mark Zuckerberg like on it, yeah. putting jeans on his avatar.
They've spent something like 80 billion on it and there's about 600 users or something. That's a wild stat that it could be completely wrong when it's on social media, but I believe it.
I would believe it, and I think that's very much what they're going to lead into. And I maybe it's actually more of a hope than a prediction that it won't work, but I do think that we're going to start seeing some really, really weird stuff. And I think everyone's going to fall much further into the camp of for or against. I'll let you guess which camp I'm in. But I think there's already lots of questions about, you know, intellectual property when it comes to creation and generative AI and how that's all going to work. And I just think you cannot create a fake person. You know, we see it all over the last couple of years with things like Replica and AI boyfriends, AI girlfriends, AI companions, AI therapists. I don't think that's going to work, and I really, really do not think it's going to translate to screen, because people are already sick of things like reboots, and, you know, we're looking for original stories and new voices and new faces and breakout actors in breakout roles, and AI can't do that. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what they try and create for us and whether or not we'll have, like, I don't know, best AI actor in a motion picture in like the 2027 Golden Globes.
I find them a bit creepy, Jane,
I find them majorly creepy, yeah. And I feel like I've aged, you know, with the onset of AI as well. Like, I find myself looking at videos going, that's AI, is it? That has to be AI. I just can't tell anymore. And I feel like even my TikTok is just full of videos and go, oh my God, look at what that dog is doing. And then it's like, no, this is AI generated and the small print at the very bottom. So I think it sounds very dystopian, and I think I'd be with Saoirse there. It's not really something I'd be too ecstatic about, really.
You're young and cool, Kira. Are we wrong?
No, you're completely right. And I do hope that, you know, like we said with the metaverse, it's going to be this continued like dissatisfaction towards AI and AI slop. I do think we'll see an increase of it. But I also think that people will turn their nose up against it, and it will kind of, the trash will take itself out, you know, that kind of way. I think we have so many good films coming out of Hollywood right now, actual organic flesh and bone driven films. And I think we have some really exciting press runs too. So with that, I think that's still taking center stage, which is the main thing. And I think this will just be a really weird, God, you remember all that? Remember all that weird stuff that came out with the fake Hollywood actress? And it is weird because I actually feel pity for these AI, even though they're not real, these AI actresses, because like they are young women and they're just meant for this male gaze. And I know it's not real, but it's just so reflective of what's happening as a society towards young women still. So hopefully, if anything, the AI turns up against the men and will have some like Ex Machina type stuff, you know, Donald Gleeson.
Yeah, there is kind of a weird, you can't talk to young women that way anymore, so you can do it to young women AI.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's really, really creepy. And we're seeing the AI relationships as well online. I can imagine, I think there is a film coming out about AI. I think that might be right, because people are saying it's an AI movie, but it's actually looking at the dangers of it.
So are the real actors playing the AI? Like, there's so many layers to that. So it could go wrong.
That Inception, AI Inception. But I do think we'll see kind of like an adolescence type, like TV show. I mean, Black Mirror has kind of already hit the nail on the head when it comes to the dangers of AI. But I think we'll see some sort of adolescent style TV show looking at AI and young people and relationships and AI therapists and the dangers. I think if anything, we'll start seeing art being created, warning us against AI creations. Mm.
Okay, so prediction number one from Saoirse: Hollywood AI is creepy and will continue to get creepier. Jane, prediction number one from you.
Okay, I was going to start with the political from my end. So if we look at this here, that one of the big talking points recently in Leinster House was the aftermath of the presidential election and what happened with Fianna Fáil there. So one of the things I keep getting asked when I'm, you know, with friends or family is like, oh, is Micheál Martin going to, do you think he's going to be gone soon? What's going to happen there? And I'm not going to be too bold with this prediction now, but I think he's going to hang in for the year anyway. I think he'll get to the end of 2026. And then I think we might see a change of leadership at that stage. But I definitely think he's going to survive the year anyway.
Micheál Martin Renaissance, or just Micheál Martin is very good at surviving and clinging on?
The second one, I think. Okay. There, yeah. Like, I mean, we've seen so much disquiet in the party in recent times, you know, about the handling of the presidential election from him and the selection of Jim Gavin and him having to drop out of the race and everything. And I think that's kind of, you know, calmed down now a bit, but it's definitely still bubbling there under the surface. So I think there is definitely that push there to kind of move him out. He's supposed to be Taoiseach until, is it November 2027? Yeah. So that's a long time to go. But I think we might, I don't know if he'll get to that point really. I think we might see the leadership change before then.
And is that out of no one has the stones to wield the knife at the minute? Or do you think they're just biding their time for the best time to knife him in the back?
I think a bit of both, to be honest. Yeah, I don't think I mean, if you look at who's there in the running, Jim O'Callaghan's top of the list, right? I think that's what everyone's saying, is he's likely going to take that spot. Or, I mean, there's other names in the mix like Dara Cleary and Dara O'Brien as well. So who knows, we might have a bit of a contest. But I think it's also a case of, there is a lot of respect there for Micheál Martin at the same time, and maybe people kind of want to let him go out gracefully, you know, rather than some big messy scene with knives flying everywhere.
Yeah, there is that old saying, Saoirse, he who wields the knife never wears the crown.
I think so. And I think that is something that Micheál is probably really hoping is not the case for this year, because everyone wants to hold. I actually forgot until late last year that it was a rotating Taoiseach situation. So even that alone, I think, has already maybe slightly excited for exciting things to come and maybe a bit of a shake up. But I think, guys, you have to remember Micheál Martin's from Cork. And I don't want to be biased.
Of course. All right, there we go. We are 12 hours into 2026, and the Corkonians are at it again.
The rebels. He's just not going to play by the status quo. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, for a fella who grew up at the feet of, you know, Charlie Haughey, Bertie Ahern, this is not a guy who... He knows every trick in the book, I suppose, Ciara, to keep in power.
But I still think a lot of people point the finger at him with the disaster of the presidential election and with Jim Gavin. We had alumni, we had the likes of Bertie Ahern saying, I had no, there's no conversations with me, you know, I was looking to run. We have his own party members, you know, frowning upon him, and Micheál Martin actually fully put his hands up. I think it's rare when a politician puts their hands up and say, look, I messed up. So I think he's got a lot of people within his own party he needs to please. And then on top of that, he needs to then talk to the people. So I think there'll be jump before he's pushed. I think a lot of people say he's not up for the job. He's looking older now, and there's so much, again, with when you look at Gaza as well as the presidential election and everything that's happening in the international world, is he doing enough? I don't know. And I think that will really, a lot of people within his own party, and you know, we have by-elections, I'll be intrigued to see what happens there as
well. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. So a few people had that in their predictions.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot to keep your eye out for, and a lot of different, you know, a lot of different individuals will be trying to get him out of that.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, that man lives for his job. Yeah. And he is, like, the green tea, I tell you, it keeps him going.
Right.
I think he's, what, 66, 67, Jane? Yeah. Something like that. But he's probably fitter than I am. I don't see him getting...
I actually would say that. I didn't realise you, yeah.
Say he's fitter than I am, yeah.
And me.
Thanks for that, yeah.
No, sorry, no, and me. Sorry.
Thanks a million. Right, okay. Definitely sticking to those resolutions this year. Thanks so much, Ciara. We're going to skip your prediction. And no, I'm joking. You have a political one. We'll get to that after the break. But give us your first prediction for 2026.
So I'm going to go for a nice, happy one. I'm going to go for Ireland qualifiers for the World
Yes!
Cup. I genuinely think that we have got such a new era on our hands right now. With the face of, you know, Troy Parrott leading that way. And we also have so many other good players as well. Obviously, Kelleher and then Liam Scales. It's a really good team. And I think for the first time, we're getting really, really excited. Because there's one thing about Ireland supporters. They are loyal, but they are so defeated. I have never seen such a buzz about it. So many people looking to go to Prague as well this new year. We have so much to look forward to. So I actually think there's a good momentum. We were able to actually rattle Ronaldo in that Portugal game. Like, we actually were a good side. And I think it's so exciting. I know a lot of people are being doubters, but I understand why we would doubt. We don't want to get our hopes up. We don't want to seem too excited. But I think we have a refreshed energy. I think we have a team that everyone wants to get behind. And it's very akin to the women's team, actually. I feel like for a long time, we've had the women's team have always been kind of get more excited. They have more international, perhaps more international grasp, I don't know, on the football stage. But I think now it's the men's turn for them to step up, which we don't always say when it comes to to sport, isn't it? So that's quite lovely. Time to step up, guys. I actually genuinely think that there's a good chance of qualifying.
Yeah, I do as well. I'm hopping on the bandwagon. Though, Saoirse, one of your predictions, I believe, has the World Cup in it as well, and the word sickening.
Yeah, just a sickening amount of hysteria I think we're going to see. And I only say that as someone who doesn't watch any football and most team sports, and therefore is already feeling left out. And I felt left out last year, and I had to Google who Troy Parrott was. I didn't understand anything. And I think it's just going to be unbearable this year, in a good way, because ultimately it is good for the Irish people, it is good for morale. And I'm also just, I feel retroactively left out because of everyone talking about Italia 90. I wasn't quite formed just yet, so I feel very left out about that. And I do think I get quite swept up in these things, and I really, really, really was not coming in here to talk about Cork all the time. But I will just quickly say, last summer, I have never been into hurling, and last summer I was like, this hurling thing is class, because Cork were doing so well. And the one time I got involved, we lost in the final. So I actually think it's for the benefit of everybody if I maybe sit this one out.
Yeah, maybe for all of our sakes.
Yeah, I think I'm a bad omen. But I do think it'll be exciting to feel swept up in it if we do get to that point, because I don't know, I think when everybody can rally behind something good like that and fun, and even if we ultimately, you know, I don't think it ever matters how far we get in these things, so long as we kind of get into the room. Irish people are very happy to be there, and I would be really happy to let you all be happy about it and absorb it from in the pub next to you.
Yeah.
And while I ask about the rules and
to
what
take the vibes
means.
In is essentially,
yeah,
what
absolutely.
You're saying.
I'm
give me the vibes.
Cruiser.
Even
give
if they mildly
sicken
you.
Give me the best vibes for this, please. And I'll, I don't know, buy a jersey or something.
Okay, so four predictions on the board for 2026. Hollywood and AI is going to keep exploding. There will be World Cup hysteria because we will get to the World Cup and Micheál Martin will cling on as Taoiseach to potentially, I suppose, cheer us on in the World Cup. My panel will be back with more predictions for 2026 after this. Welcome back to 2026 Bingo on News Talk and a Happy New Year wherever it is you're listening. My panel, Saoirse Hanley, Jane Matthews and Ciara Tracy are still with us. And as we said before the break, Ciara, and I think most of us except for Saoirse predicted something to do with this, you've got a political prediction to nail down for this year.
I do. So mine will be slightly controversial perhaps, but I think Jerry the Monk Hutch will be running in this year's by-election. So Pascal's leaving has left an empty space that must be filled. It's going to be filled this year. We saw during the Christmas market, you know, not to bring it back to Christmas, but we had people on Henry Street selling Monk T-shirts, wrapping paper, mugs, everything under the sun, just because there was a rumour that he was going to run. There's clearly an appetite for him in Dublin. And I think, you know, he's always said during his campaign, during the last election, you know, I'm here to do the people's bidding. And if there is that appetite, I think he will run again.
Can I do you one better?
Go on.
I think Jerry Hutch is going to be a TD this year.
Wow.
That's my first prediction on the board.
That's
Jerry,
speechless.
The Monk Hutch is going to win the Dublin Central by-election. A political correspondent with far more sense, Jane Matthews, talked me out of it.
Yeah, I was thinking of making this one of my predictions and I was saying, I'm not going to say he's going to win, but the way I was going to put it was that he will, he'll shake it up.
He'll certainly do that. I mean, so that's a fairly nailed on guarantee.
For that prediction, yeah.
I think, so the more I was thinking about it, and the argument against it is, really hard to win a by-election. You have to get 50% of the vote. Yeah. Didn't win a seat last time around, obviously. He came quite close, was fifth place in a four-seater. But he's going to be running against the B team on all fronts, all parties. There's no, like Janice Boylan, probably the Sinn Féin candidate. She got 4% in Mary Lou McDonald's stronghold. Ray McAdam is a good candidate for Fine Gael. I think he'd win if he'd get a seat if it was a general election. I can't see him winning a by-election. Fianna Fáil probably run Mary Fitzpatrick, who couldn't, you know, she'll catch a cold quicker than she'll catch a seat. maybe the Soc Dems. You should say on the logic of it, it should be some left-wing candidate who sweeps it up. But he's running against the B team. The government were already talking about changing legislation so the TDs who have an outstanding bill to revenue can't take a seat. Mm-hmm. I think that fits perfectly into... Oh, they don't want our type in the Dáil. They're changing the rules just to stop him. And I can just see it coming together for him.
100%.
I mean, you're absolutely convincing me. Like, I do think that.
One vote secured.
Solid argument there, yeah.
Do you think the rule situation, like, I think the outstanding tax bill conversation does kind of benefit from the presidential election campaign last year and talking about, you know, whether or not you have to get all of the council approval and all those different things that came into play last year with Maria Steen. Mm. I think there's definitely an appetite for people to, like, see something changed, even though there's systems that, you know, most people won't actually understand or know about, like, unless you're involved in it in some way, you're probably not really aware of it or really caring about it. But I do think there'll be more of a conversation for changing some of the red tape, maybe, and that does feed into that, and that does give him more leeway, and that does maybe open up for him to be there. I don't know. I think it would be interesting. When would we expect to see that?
Probably April, May. Yeah, they have 6 months from when Pascal stood down, isn't that right? But they'll probably do it alongside
the two at the Galway West together, I would assume. So that would mean that they, you know, they're kind of short a month then, because it would be from when Catherine Connolly became president.
Mm.
So yeah, I think we're talking May at the latest.
What do you think? Can anyone beat him?
I think so. Like you say, it's much harder to win a by-election. You know, you need a lot more votes initially. And I just don't know if you'd be able to do that. I think, like, it'll probably be a left-wing candidate, like you say. But then he's playing against the B team. So I think it could be someone like Daniel Ennis from the Social Democrats, maybe would have a pretty good chance. You'd need a really good... It should be Sinn Féin's to lose, really. But they would need a really, really strong candidate. And I don't know if they have that at the moment. I don't want to commit, but I do think I wouldn't bet on him either way.
Yeah. What's your gut? Because you made the first prediction, Ciara. What do you think? Will he take a seat?
I think he'll definitely run. Like, let's not, and that's so ironic, like, walk before we run, pardon the pun. Oh my God, Adam Ryan.
Lads. Still the best headline. I wish I could credit the right paper. I think it was the Mirror, maybe the Sunday World. Monk on the run again when he was about to, in the rumours. So just to put that out there, fair play to
him. I didn't know that actually. So that was all just...
That was just my, you and your...
Yes,
your
that was all me. But I think, especially like you say, Saoirse, this faction with the presidential election and Maria Steen, people putting all of that, I think even though they aren't tied by any way politically. He is that kind of outsider. He kind of does have a sort of populist approach in that terms of for the people, do you know, that way. So I think a lot of people grasp onto that. And like you say, we're going up against a B team. So my gut is, long story short, yes. Well, yeah.
Well, now you're on board. That didn't take much.
No, well,
there we go.
Two political correspondents. I'm just feeling like, you know, you guys set the stats.
Welcome
quite
to
nice.
The club.
When you think about it, he did pretty well the last time around without really any kind of campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he came into the RDS that time and he was asked, you know, what do you want? And he said, change. Mm. That was his campaign position. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see this time around, you know, if he does put a bit more effort into it, I mean, what could happen then?
Yeah.
You know?
Can't imagine him having a manifesto, but at the same time.
It's just, I will do what the people want me to do.
Yeah.
That's
good, solid answer.
That's get votes. Yeah.
One more of mine now while we're on the topic of politics. For 2026, we're going to put an over-under on how many ministers will resign.
Oh, wow.
And I want to set it at 1.5, that it'll be over. So at least.
Junior minister.
Junior ministers included. Okay. I don't mean just cabinet. So. Where is that peg for you? To at least two resignations
in the year.
In the year.
God, you're being bold.
I'm thinking. Well, like Micheál Martin could be one.
Okay. Yeah.
That all matter. And then I just think we're due a good junior minister scandal.
Okay. If we're counting junior ministers, like we've enough to pick from. So yeah, let's say like 10. Nobody asked. I think 1.5 is probably. Yes. Yeah, you could be onto something there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do have 23 junior ministers to choose from. So
you're talking 2 out of 38 when you count in the seniors. 40 actually. Jesus, there's a fierce rack of them now, isn't there?
Yeah.
You can't move
for junior ministers.
It's wall-to-wall junior ministers in here, yeah.
Go on, Jane, you have another political prediction, I believe.
Yeah, so this isn't a nice one, I'm afraid, but I think we're going to see buckets loads of travel chaos in the second half of the year.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
Guys. And I think it's going to be because Ireland will be hosting the EU presidency from July to December. Really exciting stuff, but it is the talk of Leinster. Well, not the talk of Leinster House, but I mean among
it's been a quiet month in Leinster House, people. Okay,
among government figures, I mean, you know, it's got, oh God, we're getting ready for next year, you know, and it is actually, there's a lot of organisation that will have to go into it. It's going to be a huge amount of people travelling into the country for these ministerial meetings. You're going to have loads of EU leaders coming in, and you know, with that comes a lot of security, a lot of disruption. We saw it recently earlier in December with Zelensky's visit. There was a lot of road closures around Dublin, and just think of that now on an even bigger scale, running across 6 months. Not all across the country, but they're trying to spread it out across the country. So I don't know if you'll really escape from this one. And I always remember, it's in 2023, do you remember when Biden came to visit?
Oh, yeah.
I was living in London at the time and I was flying back over there the same day he was flying out, and it was an absolute nightmare. I remember trying to get to Dublin Airport and going, oh my God, we're going to miss the flight. There was so much traffic. And then we ended up sat on the tarmac for hours and hours and hours. The flight didn't take off in the end. So, yeah. Sorry, guys.
That's going to start during festival season as well.
Yeah.
That's going to cross over. Oh, the people trying to get to Stradbally or their Forbidden Fruits or...
Oh, we're definitely having a headliner missing a set because of
100%.
The junior minister from Estonia is over some sort of a meeting.
So your country's going to hit different this year. Yeah. Oh my God.
Because there's tons, like it's not just the big high level meetings, isn't it? Like there's loads of side meetings of random energy ministers from wherever.
Yeah, and like there's a big issue around like where are they going to put everyone, you know?
Where are they going to be?
Oh, that's the question. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, there's a question mark of do we have buildings that are big enough, you know, to host these kind of events? And you're going to even have events that are not just the 27 member states, you know, the UK are going to be there as well, and wider states from outside the EU. So yeah, I mean, a lot of planning left to be done in this
there's
one.
There's going to be so much river dance. Like no tomorrow.
I tell you now, what we should have done, over under on Seamus Heaney quotes this year, yeah. If we're having something like that. True. My God. Because they had, like, it is limited. I know they're doing up a lot in Dublin Castle. There's been basically 4 and 5 months of works to Dublin Castle already. And then you've got what? The INEC, Adair Manor, didn't that host stuff in the last presidency?
Yes.
Like it's a very small handful of places. But you're going to, it's if you're travelling anywhere for how long? 6 months? How long are we hosting it?
Yeah, July to December. Yeah.
Worst festival ever.
Right, who will we turn to next? Saoirse, go on, give us one more of yours.
Yes, kind of politically leaning in that obviously this year it will be 110 years on from Easter Rising and from 1916 generally. And I was trying to think back to 2016 and I was in college at the time, and I can't remember a whole lot of, well, that year, and also what went on to celebrate. But one of my particular predictions, it's not particularly a good one, is that I think we're going to see so many grifters taking revolutionary quotes and things that happened during the Rising and trying to manipulate it and turn it all into this big anti-immigration, Ireland first mess. I think they're going to be so misrepresented. I think that we're going to like be blue in the face by the end of the year of saying like, that's actually not what they meant. That's actually not at all what that's about. That's not what the treaty said, I promise. And I think we saw it a lot even during the riots in 2023 that, you know, people were talking about the, you know, various revolutionaries and what they would have been doing. They would have been on O'Connell Street too and all this kind of crack. And I think it's just going to go into overdrive. I haven't properly looked into what's planned throughout the year. I know there's generally a lot of things that, you know, we do to celebrate, whether it's reenactments or, you know, exhibitions or walking tours or various things around Dublin to celebrate these things. But I do think that it's going to be turned into such a talking point and such discourse. And I think I'm going to be rolling my eyes to high heavens at least once a month for the next 12.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You've made me feel really old because I remember covering the 100th anniversary ones down outside the GPO on Easter Sunday or when, whatever day it was. Yeah, it kind of just seems wide open to the far right at the minute, doesn't it? That there'll be a lot of flag claiming.
Yeah, I mean, we spent all of last year trying to reclaim the tricolour as something inclusive and welcoming and emblematic of what we want, but the majority of us want Ireland to look like. And it has been totally stuck on flag posts without that message. And I think that, as you say, it is wide open for further misrepresentation and misunderstanding, and I already despair at it. But I think alongside all of that, there will hopefully be plenty of actual celebration and awareness of things that went on and lots of, you know, cool, interesting things to see. I mean, I think a lot of people maybe the world over are quite ignorant sometimes to you know, Irish history and what happened here. I mean, I remember being at Kilmainham Jail a while back, and we were at the stage of the tour, which is excellent, by the way, if you ever are looking for something to do in Dublin, and they were talking about you know, James Connolly and all of these things and this awful end that he had. And there was someone taking what I can only describe as like wanderlust travel TikTok content in the corner, where she was like getting her husband to film her like walking into the scene. But it was quite literally where the firing squad was.
Oh, no.
And I just think there is absolutely room to learn about Irish history this year, as there always is every year. But particularly this year, I think if you're marking it, it'll be lovely. But I think there's just going to be so much room to mess it up, but I really hope that all of the things that are worth celebrating about Irish history we actually get to.
Kira, we obviously claim you as one of our own, but you are coming with a slightly outsider perspective on like the whole 1690.
What was it,
the accent? Giving away a little bit. Like when you, because I went for school to school for a while in the UK, and this kind of was all just brushed under, all this whole colonialism stuff completely. And everything else that went on. Like, did you have any awareness of any of it when you came here?
Well, my dad's a dove, and he definitely would have gone on a few rants, you know, growing up. No, I definitely learned like that. But no, during school, like I absolutely wouldn't have been taught. We just learned about the Tudors and World War II and not anything to do with Ireland's involvement in those events either. But I did history and politics for my undergrad, and I chose, even then it was a limited scope when it comes to Irish history, I actually had to choose to look at the British Empire. I had to choose to pick, you know, decolonization modules rather than, you know, being fed that information. I had to go and seek it out myself. So it really is lacking, and I've learned so much. Obviously, like, I've always been passionate about Ireland and Irish history, so I myself have always been someone who seeked that out, but the average kind of Joe in England wouldn't have a clue.
It's even interesting that the word you went for was decolonization, whereas here it would be, you know, uprising, liberty. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just the perspective of it is very different.
Genuinely. Like. And actually, something that we could do, Sasha, to stop the kind of future headaches to come, it just dawned on me there. You know how we've just put shrubs outside of Molly Malone's statue? We just did that with like the GPO and like Stephen's Green around the time. So to stop people from going in and doing those
so
cringy
true.
Videos.
Stop roping the GPO.
I actually think that could be a great shout.
That was a sentence I never thought I'd hear in my life. And on day one of 2026, stop groping the GPO, people. Please, for the love of God. Okay, there are a few more predictions. Don't grow up the GPO. Travel chaos because of the EU presidency. 1916 Rising is going to be hijacked. And Jerry the Monk Hutch is going to win the by-election. There you go. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes' time with my panel to run through our final predictions for 2026. Welcome back to 2026 Bingo on News Talk. We're putting together the bingo card for the year to come. What is likely to happen? Some of the big events that are likely to shape the year. We've had a few interesting ones already. Jane Matthews, give us your next prediction.
Okay, mine actually kind of links in a little bit with Saoirse's one, but I think...
This was on the GPO one, the 1916...
Not growing the GPO.
Yeah,
yes.
Not growing the GPO.
No, so my one is that I think we're going to see the Irish language revival kind of even accelerate even more. I mean, we're already experiencing it right now, but I think it's going to flourish into the new year. And I think that kind of comes down to Catherine Connolly being in the Oris. I think even at the moment, you know, Irish culture is kind of cool at the moment, you know. Even music and arts and... the language as well. And I think we're going to see a lot more people interested in learning the language. And that's something we are seeing at the moment. I even know, like, just anecdotally in my friend group, like, people are, you know, going and doing Irish classes after work. And I'm like, God, how do you have the energy? Well, I think that's a lovely, lovely thing. And it's something you're kind of seeing more widely as well, that, like, Conrad na Gaeilge were saying that they're seeing a massive increase in people taking on Irish classes. So I think that's something that we're going to continue to see into the new year. And, you know, like even with Catherine Connolly saying that the working language of the Oris is going to be Irish going forward. I think that's a really big step change. And like you were saying then with the 110 year anniversary, if we are going to be seeing kind of like a little bit more exploration of our history, it could kind of go nicely, you know, hand in hand, I think. So yeah, I think watch that space. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting after such a divisive presidential election campaign, like that's actually, and I genuinely agree with that. My mother-in-law arrived one day to say she'd been on Duolingo the last week doing Irish lessons. Like, it's kind of remarkable, isn't
it? It definitely is. I went to an Irish speaking primary and secondary school, so it's something I'm so passionate about. And I really, I don't know, it left a bad taste in my mouth last year when President Connolly announced that she wanted to have that be the working language of the Oris, because a lot of people seem to react quite poorly to that and think that it was, you know, shunning them for not knowing it, or very elitist, or leaving them out, or, you know, being just inaccessible and all of these things. But I think we forget sometimes that, like, the promotion of Irish does not mean we all suddenly don't speak English. We will still be speaking English. You can still access English. It's not like, you know, you'll walk into the shop and they're going to kick you out if you, you know, ask for milk and not banya. Like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. But I think anything we can do to keep promoting that is amazing. There's so many fantastic, like, you know, grassroots organisations in the country that work really hard to promote it. There's so many educators who are so passionate about it. I love it. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's great. And, like, I used to live in Montreal in Canada, where they very much have, you know, French and English exist concurrently and together. And you'd walk into a shop there and they would say bonjour, hi. And if you responded bonjour, they'd chat to you in French. If you respond with hi, they'd talk to you in English. Let's do that. I think it's perfect. Anyone's couple of vocal is brilliant. I sign off all my emails with GRMA, which is just the shortened version of Gurv Margot. I do worry that I'm calling someone grandma every time that I do that. Sometimes I do type it out if I'm feeling a bit self-conscious about it. But I think even things like that, like, people are getting very, very into implementing it in their small everyday ways that are accessible and that are possible and that don't, you know, don't require you to go back and do lessons if you don't want to. I think that any way that we can promote it in, like, a really fun way, it benefits us all, because it's, you know, it's far Gaeilge Briste, not Bearla Cliste.
Lovely. What does that mean?
Get your Duolingo, right?
Yeah, yeah,
you know, ask your mother a lot of tips.
It's an interesting one, Jane, to go back to the point your prediction earlier about Micheál Martin surviving, because he's obviously very fluent in the old Gaeilge.
Yeah.
But when it comes to other leaders, like Simon Harris, not really.
No.
Mary Lou has a little bit.
Yeah. She would use it a lot. Yeah, I don't know. I think she'd have a fair...
I don't know how rehearsed it is, because she seems to always be reading it as opposed to, like, having a conversation. I don't really...
She sprinkles it in. I think it's more of a sprinkler. It's a flourishment, I think.
Which I think is a way that a lot of us would like to even be able to get to just that level alone, you know?
Yeah.
She's convinced me. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people it is a confidence thing.
Yeah.
And like Saoirse was saying, like, just a few couple of fuckle, you know, is a big thing. And I thought that was really interesting, actually, in the election. You could see the pride that people had in the language, and even, like, with the polling that was done, I can't remember the figures now, but around, do you think the president should be able to speak Irish? And so many people said yes, you know. And I always find there was a bit of a tension there, because there's a lot of people who actually, you know, that would preclude so many people from becoming president, because they wouldn't have that fluency in Irish. But it was so, you could see it was so important to people that, you know, it should, it's an element of pride there in our language. And I think people do want to kind of go a little bit further with it. And it's just building that confidence. And I think if we can integrate it in small ways, I think, you know, that would be a good way to go about it.
Yeah, definitely. Ciara Tracy, stick one more on the bingo board.
So I'm going to go with, it's a slightly bizarre one, but I think we're going to see more restrictions into Ozempic this year. I know, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, you know, like a tinfoil hat. But
please do, like, get that tinfoil hat out.
I just think it's come so quick and so accessible. And there are a lot of people using it who wouldn't be classed as obese or have diabetes who are using it kind of willy-nilly. And it really frightens me because it, you know, people are just using it without really knowing the, you know, what the full long-term effects are yet. And I don't want to sound like, again, like I'm a kind of crazy lady, like, oh, because we don't know what, it could be perfectly fine to use. But I know it's, for example, stopping people from able to eat full meals and things like that. And just our relationship with food is so important. And I just think, what is happening here? There's no rhyme or reason for this either, by the way. This is just, it just makes me feel a bit kind of like when you see an AI video. Oh, it doesn't look completely sound. I don't know. It just makes me nervous.
No, it's really interesting. I find it really interesting because, like, I'm sure people have seen it up and down the country. We've seen people in the office and you're like, God, your man's looking well. Yeah. And then, oh, right. Yeah. You're on the Ozempic.
On the Zempi.
Okay.
Yeah. As people call it.
Yeah. Ozempic. But even down to restaurateurs this year saying, they think business has turned down because the amount of people that are on Ozempic, they only come in and order a starter.
That they only need a bite. Like, I actually saw someone post on their Instagram story the other day, oh, one bite of this and I literally can't eat anymore. Right. And it's crazy. And it will change, like 100% without a doubt, it's going to change food culture. Restaurants are going to have smaller plate sizes. I think they will have to accommodate for people using Ozempic because it is on the rise massively. So, yeah. But I do think we're going to start seeing a clamp down on the amount of people who can get access to it.
Because it is a shame, I think, that, like, you know, we can't let ourselves even have good things. Like, it's a revolutionary drug and it's obviously helping millions of people across the globe who, you know, have, who are obese or who have, you know, diabetes or have various other, you know, very valid reasons and very important reasons to want to use these drugs. But then you see when people who don't particularly need it but are accessing it in ways that maybe even they shouldn't, or they're taking up a lot of stock that, for example, then drives up the cost for people who do need it and then can't afford it. I think it's, and even, like, you know, even just to get back, we've seen so much of it last year in Hollywood, all of the talk around Wicked, like all of these stars that are shrinking before our eyes that we already thought were very small. And I think a lot of the promotion of it among people who don't necessarily on paper need it, I think that has distilled it to the point where it's harder then to be really ecstatic about what a change maker it is. So I do think for sure that there'll be a bit of a turning point where, like that, they'll say, okay, we don't know the long-term ramifications. And that might be an okay grey area because we do know that the long-term ramifications of obesity can be very hard in your body, and we know that. But if you're somebody who is otherwise very healthy and you've decided to take these drugs that you maybe don't know the long-term effects of, that's going to be a little bit harder, I think, to weigh up, because, you know, if there's there's a very valid reason to kind of enter into that grey area, brilliant. But if not, it's maybe too risky. So I do think it'll be something that this year they'll have to start cracking down on, because otherwise, I don't know, we'll all just disappear very quickly.
Literally.
It's an interesting one, Jane, for government, because I haven't sensed there's any appetite to go near this, that they would rather just someone else sort it out. Mm-hmm. But like, on one hand, we don't know the long-term ramifications, as has been pointed out, and people are kind of entitled to do what they like if they can get the prescription. But also, obesity is such a massive weight, pardon the pun, on the health service, in that it just, the side effects of it require so much treatment and so much money put into that, that if you were to take that load off, you could see very tangible benefits to the wider health service.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'm not going to, you know, try to be a expert on Ozempic here. I don't know a huge amount about it, but from, like, what I do understand is that it does have massive, massive health benefits to people who need it. And like you say, it could, you know, do a lot of good there. But I think in terms of the government legislating to regulate it, I think we'd be waiting a while for that. There's the flip side of it as well, where you have people who actually do need it for health reasons, and they're saying, well, actually, they, you know, It's too expensive to use at the moment, and they'd like to see the government reduce the cost for them, which I think is a valid argument as well. So I think it's something we'll definitely be grappling with.
There's already black market like versions as well, you know, on the scene, which people have no idea what's in them, what they're taking. So if there isn't regulation and we do see the prices go up, people are going to look for alternatives, which could have huge repercussions on people's health.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to put one more on the bingo board from myself. And I don't feel particularly good about this one. This year, something's going to trigger a recession.
Oh, God.
And I don't know, will a recession happen this year? But I just get there's a little sniff of the old end of the boom around things at the minute. Simon Harris is health or is finance minister, not giving me the old same confidence.
Such a vote of confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, sensible Simon, prudent Pascal, they don't quite add up for me. And there's just a little sense of the boom being a little too boomy, Jane.
Yeah.
That I'm not liking.
I enjoyed how, I think it was Jed Nash who said recently in the Dáil that there was a whiff of 2008 in the air. I can't remember what it was in relation to. I think it was something to do with that new housing regulations changing. But yeah, maybe I think you could be onto something there. That was actually linked to one of my predictions. I was saying, I think with the cost of living, I think you're going to see kind of this trend back towards people going for like quote unquote more natural looks, you know, like back to your natural hair colour and not getting the nails done.
Grown out eyebrows.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just because everyone's, you know, feeling the pinch, you know, and I don't, that's not going to let up anytime soon. Whether there'll be a full-on recession, I don't know. But I mean, I don't think the situation's going to improve massively anytime soon.
I'd feel so aggrieved. I mean, we'd all feel aggrieved by that for many various reasons. But one of the particular reasons is that I don't feel like I felt the boom as much as last time because I don't think it was nearly half as fun. Last time I got a Wii. I got Nintendo Wii for that confirmation.
Incredible.
I did not get any kind of big prize like that this time around. And like that, it's almost a shame that we're going from cost of living into potential recession. That's so depressing. At least give us like the Roaring Twenties part first before you give us the like huge Great Depression bit afterwards.
Yeah, it's like having the recession without having had the Celtic Tiger.
Yeah, literally. What's that about?
That's like it's boomy and we're all broke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, boom where is like seriously.
Boom what?
Boom where? Like where is the boom?
Oh, where is it? I thought you were talking about like boom fits, like boom boom outfit, you know, boom wearables. I don't know.
I mean,
Labubu dolls. That was the moment I decided the boom is something's gone wrong here.
Yeah, hanging off those bags. Yeah,
that was our recession indicator.
Hugely. What do they say? The shirts get shorter or something, and that was an indicator. Maybe that's the only fun we had was our skirts momentarily got shorter, and then recession came.
Are jeans going to get skinny again?
Oh, please.
God,
well, the Ozempic's on the go. So once we all get the Ozempic, we'll be fine.
If you see Simon Harris in skinny jeans, sell everything.
Boo-boo on the briefcase. It's desperate.
The recession is coming. Okay, Jane, we got through all of yours, I think. Fair play to you. We only have a couple of minutes left, so in like couple of sentences. Seriously, you had one more prediction for 2026.
Yeah, I just think there's going to be another crazy infrastructure change, at least certainly in Dublin. I think we'll have like a crazy street be pedestrianised, or they're going to come back and say like even down the country, Patrick Street in Cork's pedestrianised, or Metrolink like indefinitely pushed back until we're all like 99 together somehow. We're all turned 99 together. And Metrolink finally came and we could get to the airport easily.
I'm measuring that now in how many children's hospitals it is going to cost.
Exactly.
Many.
How many children's hospitals till we get a Metrolink? It's an impossible question to answer.
We did well not mentioning the children's hospital until now.
Actually, that would have been a very good prediction. I'm disappointed none of us thought about that. Will it open in 2026?
No.
Fairness, maybe it was a bit on the nose. Kira, you had one more.
I'm going to say, I think this year, Timothée Chalamet is going to win his first Oscar.
Ooh.
The Marty Supreme. Yeah.
The
ping pong. It's the ping pong film that's coming out. He's already nominated for a Golden Globe for it. So I think he could nab his first Oscar. If not, DiCaprio will be getting his second one for One Battle After Another.
Very good. I like both of those. A few Irish up for the Golden Globes as well, aren't there?
So Hamnet. So we have Paul Mescal, Jesse Buckley. It's looking pretty promising on that front. I think Paul Mescal, everyone's kind of saying he might get best supporting for that.
And is that what's that one that everybody in the world seems to be in, the new Christopher Nolan one? The Odyssey?
Oh, The Odyssey, yeah. That's with... Spider-Man.
It's like Tom Holland?
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland,
yeah.
Spider-Man. Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon. Yeah, so that's actually... That hasn't come... That's coming out this year?
That's later this year.
Yeah.
I was looking up releases recently and there's, I think that's later this year.
So that could be one for 2027, I think, for the Oscar.
Right,
and
okay.
The kind of, yeah.
That versus there. Like Avatar, whatever one we're on, three
oh
or four,
God,
which
yeah.
is also coming this year.
That's a recession indicator, by the way.
That's, yeah. Yeah, when you hit three Avatars and Simon Harris having a laboo-boo doll. We're flat out of time for mine, but my final one was, not dissimilar to your 110 years since the Easter Rising, America turns 250.
Oh,
this year.
Okay.
And it's going to end in division and disaster.
Just perfect.
And that's frankly all we need to say about it in Donald Trump's
New
America.
Year.
Happy New Year. Good luck in the gym, everybody listening, and with your whatever you're having, your kale smoothies. Saoirse Hanley from the Irish Independent, Jane Matthews from the Journal.ie, and Ciara Tracy, News Talk's very own. Thanks so much for joining us. To nail our bingo card to the wall, in brief summary, Ireland will make the World Cup. There will be a load of hysteria about it. Ozempic will get harder to get. There's going to be big Oscar winners. Jeremy Monk Hutch is going to become a TD. AI will take over Hollywood. The 1916 Rising will be hijacked by the far right. America will fall into disaster. The Children's Hospital, no, sorry, what you say, the Metro is not going to be done on time or on budget. Shock horror, Micheál Martin will still be Taoiseach. There will be loads of travel chaos if you're trying to get anywhere because of a load of EU junior ministers are coming here. And at least two ministers are going to resign. There you go, 2026. Hold us all to that in a year's time.
Whee.
Thanks very much. Enjoy your New Year's Day on News Talk.
Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.